Candace Owens with the post and delete? Really? The Grip Report starts right now.
2-1, boom. Hotep Jesus.
Of all the Jesuses I know, he's the Hotepiest. Social scientist and YouTube host, Hotep Jesus.
How the fuck do you get a name like Hotep Jesus?
He's the one and only Hotep Jesus.
Ryan Sharp, better known to the world as Hotep Jesus.
Hotep Jesus. Hotep Jesus. Hotep Jesus.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Somebody said, what do you think you are, some kind of Hotep Jesus?
Ooh, and that's
I was
good.
Just like, ooh, that's sexy. Yes, I do think I'm Hotep Jesus.
What's happening, people? Welcome to the Grip Report, live Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. No, let me do that again. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, depending on where you are in the world. Welcome to the Grip Report, live Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, the Griff God.
Hotep Jesus. Hotep Jesus. Hotep Jesus.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Oh, this is the Hotep, brother.
Hotep to the chat. Hotep to my Hotep of Stannies.
Hotep.
What's happening, y'all? What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? How y'all feeling? What's going on with the goings on? Everybody doing good today? Tuesday? Tuesday's my slow day. Good thing. Mondays are my busiest days. Mondays I'm up and moving from like 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. As you know, every Monday night, we do Hotep's Been Told You 2.0, extra episode, an extra dose of Hotep's Been Told You, Uncle Hotep. Last night's episode was fun. That is up and on patreon.com/Hotep's Been Told You. Make sure you guys go grab that and enjoy that wonderful piece of content. I don't know, we'll figure it out one of these days. Who's in the chat? Y'all, Strong Dad, see you. Hotep CPA. Hotep CPA, I need you to contact me ASAP. I need somebody to do taxes. I got some taxes due. I don't want no problems with the government. I got some corporate taxes that need to be done. Please holla at me. HotepJesus@gmail. ASAP. Or hit me up in one of the group chats so I can get your contact. Did I take my Flopex today? I did. I did take my Flopex. Absolutely. It's a must have. I think, you know, I know when I miss some days, especially with flow. My memory just isn't as fast. My speech isn't as quick. My thinking just isn't as clear and on point. So I have to get back on it, you know. It's great for people who don't have a perfect diet, right? Like, my diet is not perfect. There's some things in my diet I should not be eating, like, you know, Starbucks. So it helps counterbalance some of the bad habits happening in our lives. Sauce the Prophet said he started on his Flopex. Salute. Drawn Dad, did you get that shirt from AG yet? If you have not, let me know in the chat. I'll buzz him again. Shout out to Haram Life, Haram Life Podcast. Appreciate you for the super chat. You the man, bro. Waiting for Strong Dad to tell me what's going on. So, Candace Owens had a post and delete today. We're going to get into that. What else is in the grift bag? Obviously, we got to talk about women's sports here. We got a lot of tweets to look at. We got some grifter stuff, Lives of TikTok in here. I think we'll probably get to most of this stuff today. Maybe some Big Brother stuff, depending on the timing, et cetera, et cetera. Passport Boy stuff, maybe. All right, let's get into what we got to get into. Let's talk about this subject everybody wants to talk about. And we're going to start off with the queen of the hour herself. Not Caitlyn. Angela. Or is it Angel? Is it Angel? Is it Angela? Angel. My bad. Sorry, sweetheart. Let's go right here. I just want to tap in right here. This was a controversial interview she had here. Let's play the tape.
I just try to stand strong. Like, I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened.
All right, stop right there. That's the part I really want to get at. That she was sexualized. And this is a very important topic. This is something that we need to discuss, and we need to know how to manage these conversations. Because these conversations, they can get a little bit weird. They can go left really fast. So, hold on a second. What is this? The internet has gone crazy. So I don't want to bring up all the images of Angel Reese. We throw this one on the screen really fast. So this is her, and you know, she posed with Sports Illustrated, which is, I would say, a very sexy shoot. It was giving off sexy. You know, one of the images, she had on a thong and, you know, whatever. So what people are saying is that she sexualized herself. She sexualized herself. Now we got to be clear here. Now, when she first said, my inner misogyny, if that's the word we're using in today's world, my inner misogyny, my ears perked up when she said that people sexualized her. Cause I'm like, baby, I thought you made yourself a sex symbol. That's what I thought, you know. But then I caught myself and I said, wait, hold on a second here. You know, women deserve to have their own agency. They deserve to do whatever they want with their bodies. And I think there's a difference between sexualizing yourself and other people sexualizing you. Now, I can say that if you sexualize yourself in the public arena, you should expect people to sexualize you. You should probably expect that. Not to say it's good, but you probably should. Now, I think people take it too far, though. I think there are some dudes who never seen ass, don't touch grass, haven't been with a woman in a while, if ever, and they see stuff like that, and they make comments, right? And some of the comments, I would say, are disgusting and inappropriate. When she says she was being sexualized, you know, it could be that people take, you know, women and they put them, like, use AI and put them on naked women. I don't know, some weird stuff going on on the internet, which is another topic for another day. I do want to discuss that at some point, because that's, I think there's something psychological going wrong with the people that participate in that. And is that digital rape? Anyway, digital grape? I don't know. But again, you know, if you put your body out there like that, not to say, you know, not to make excuses for these men, but kind of comes with the territory, right? It comes with the territory. You know, if you're OnlyFans chick and people are like, oh, they sexualize me. I'm like, you're OnlyFans chick. I'm like, what else are they supposed to do? You know? So I think it's very important that, you know, people be careful of their brand and how they publish themselves, how they promote themselves. But at the same time, you know, it's the men got to do better. Men got to do better. You know, all this oogling and whatnot over women is just, it's either incel behavior or simp behavior. Either way, it's not good. And you got to do better. All right, let's go to the next thing on this story. So obviously this turned into the race grift, as we all expected. We all expected this to turn into the race grift. OutKick has been all over it. OutKick said, you know what? We're going to cash in on the race grift. And they have not missed a beat. Shout out to Clay Travis. If you guys have not watched my interview on OutKick with Tyrus, go watch it. Tell me what you think. We will be taking callers today, so have your questions ready. OutKick here says ESPN ran an insane headline alleging coverage of women's NCAA tournament is racist before quickly changing it. Unfortunately for ESPN, screenshots are forever and we have them. Do I want to look at the screen? All right, let's see what this screenshots. Let's see how bad this is. I feel like we're not going to find anything. I feel like it's going to be a huge nothing burger to just listen to my intuition. All right, let's see the screenshots. Where are the screenshots? What do you got? And there's no screenshot. I knew it. Where are the screenshots? You always have to follow your intuition. Is this it? So I guess this is one of the screenshots. Again, it's very vague. For LSU and Iowa, the only narrative should be competition. And then like something else is blacked out here. ESPN features headline alleging coverage of women's tournament is racist. David Hookstead, LSU star Haley Van Lith tried to play the race card and failed miserably. Disliking LSU has nothing to do with race. We need only judge people by their actions and character, never by their skin color. Ladies and gentlemen, watching the Griff Report, how long are we going to lie to ourselves? How long are we going to lie? How are we going to just allow ourselves to lie to ourselves? How do we do that? Everybody and a mama knew this was a racial matchup. Everybody knew that. We all sat around. Nerd Nash held a poll. Matter of fact, let me find Nerd's poll. This is probably a good place to start in this subject matter. Because Nerd knew it. How did Nerd know ahead of time what all this was about? Right? And this is not saying that, you know, coverage was racist. Mostly because I don't pay attention to the coverage. I couldn't tell you one way or another if the coverage was racist. So here we go. The Nerd placed his poll yesterday before the game, April 1st, sometime during the day. And he says, LSU versus Iowa tonight. Pick your side. LSU, Iowa, just here for good game, and just here for racist tweets. Now, unfortunately, I jumped the trigger and voted before I read all of the options here, and I chose LSU, mostly because, you know, I'm sexualizing the angel.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
She's a baddie. You know, I'm not picking for any other reason. I didn't watch the game either. I'm fucking playing chess. But I would have picked just here for racist tweets if I could do it all over. So Nerd Nash knew this thing was racial. And it's just one question that we have to ask ourselves to prove if this was racial. Actually, two questions. Name the last rivalry between two NCAA female stars. Go. Name them. Second question. Damn, I forgot the second question. Hold on. Wait, the first one is. Well, I guess that one is pretty much. Once you answer that one, I guess that would cover all bases. Yeah. Name the last rivalry from two NCAA female athletes, period. I would say the last rivalry. He said Bird versus Magic. Swoops and Cooper. It's got to be white. It got to be a white girl. I should have stated that. That was part of my the other question I had, race specific. Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark for 2023. All the rest were black on black. Exactly. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you're talking about Cheryl Swoops. Like, how long ago? Swoops versus Cooper. How long ago was this? How long ago was that? You see my point here? You see my point? And I hate doing hypotheticals, but we're gonna break my rule today. If Angel Reese were white, keep in mind, the last NCAA rivalry was Riley Gaines versus the trans swimmer. That's the last rivalry I remember that's notable. Okay? If Angel was white, would we be talking about this? No, we would not. No, we would not. We would not. It would not be a thing. It would not be a thing. Now let's go and look at the coverage. The coverage, I'm going to try and be fair, but the coverage smells like dog whistle racism. Okay? Smells like dog whistle racism. Let me see if I can find. Elon, what is going on? Bam. Yo, Elon's app will just do weird shit with your bookmark. It'll just do weird shit. Jamel Hill says, Caitlin Clark gets more credit than black players because she's white. Is that true? I don't know. I never seen the bitch ball. All I'm saying and what Caitlin Clark is, all I'm saying is she got to win the chip before I jump out the window and say, you know, he's, you know, great or whatever. That, isn't that the rule? Like, you got to win the chip. Does Caitlin got a ring? Angel was the Goliath to white America so they can rejoice in Caitlin. I know you can't see what I see right now. I'm about to put it on the screen in a second. Thank you for the reminder, though. I appreciate you. Sometimes I'll be slipping. Hold on. I'm going to show you a little dog whistle racism. And I can't really stand on it and say it is racism or not, but look at this. Caitlin Clark took time after beating LSU to sign autographs for fans, including many young kids. Their reaction said it all. Complete class act. You know, the funny thing is when we talk about white people and what they do, it's like everything is just with class. And then with black people, if you can use the English language well, you have a great command of the language. They say, oh, he speaks so well. She speaks so well. She speaks so well. Like they just, you know, who was this? Chris Rock did a comedy about this. He did a special about this. He speaks so well. And Chris Rock's like, you know, what fuck did you expect him to sound like? I was going to make it to the game, muscle. So it's just kind of weird. It's just kind of weird. Thank you for the super. Who is that? Matt, HJ, you've been seeing anything in your dreams lately? Mom been crazy. Nothing in particular. We're going to get into that haram life. We're going to talk about that, too. You know, oh, it's class. I mean, she won the chip. Of course she's supposed to sign autographs. Like, what are we giving fucking brownie points for? Oh, she signed autographs. Complete class. Like, what? So it's like, I can't say it. I want to say it's dog whistle racism. I can't stand on that 10 toes down. But it's just like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? Like, y'all making headlines for no reason. Anyway, here's what I really want to talk about. This is what I really want. Shout out to Mark Lobner. Mark Lobner is a mutual follower of mine on the Twitter sphere. And no diss to him, but he needs a bit of Hotep brainwashing. We're going to have to indoctrinate him a little bit more. We got to get him off that red, white Kool-Aid. I like that red, white Kool-Aid. He says, was too busy podcasting, but did LSU really skip the national anthem? Are we doing that again? So this was another thing. You know, they were saying, oh, they didn't stand for the national anthem. And I'm just like, here we go. Here we go with the bullshit. Now, allegedly, they've been – doing this all season, right? So all season, basically, they go in the locker room, they say their prayers, and then they stand for the national anthem in the locker room. So my only question is it God or country? Which one do you want? They sure as hell don't pray before the games. That's what you should ask for, right? Not the national anthem. Can we pray before the game? There should be a national prayer. Fuck the national anthem. Be a national prayer. And these girls chose God over country. So which way, Western man, God or country? Which way are we going with it? Now, I saw a really wonderful response that I thought was hilarious. And he says, oh, no, McCult rituals. And I just thought that was so funny. Cause that's what it feels like. They say, oh, he didn't stand for the national anthem. It's just like, oh, my God, another cult ritual. Like, really, bro? Y'all love this national anthem that much? Shit's really weird to me. Jingoism's so weird. Patriotism's so weird to me. And this is the problem with knowing too much. When you know, knowing too much is like watching Netflix, right? Like when your third eye is open, you can't watch anything the same anymore because you just start seeing agendas in everything. You can't even enjoy anything, right? And it took me a really long time to stop expressing that, because I used to watch, you know, you watch something with family or whatever, you got to point out every single side, like, yo, look, it's a side, it's a side. And now I kind of just keep it to myself. I just watch it and I go, oh, look at the side. Oh, look at that side. Oh, look at this agenda. Oh, wow. They're just going to shoehorn that in there like that, huh? Wow. Another gay black man in another Netflix show. That's the problem. Like once you open your third eye, you can't close it again. You just can't close it. You can't even blink. So when you see people, you know, do weird stuff like practice patriotism, and you know how the country was created, you kind of look at them like, huh? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Right? This is the curse of knowing too much. It's a curse. It's a curse. In some ways, it's a curse. Hold on. It's some messiness in here, too. Let me just make sure I didn't miss nothing. Wow. Oh, it's saved? We about to get the candid in a minute. I think I just... But first, let's start with Libs of TikTok. I'm going to help y'all out. I'm going to help y'all out today. I'm going to help the woke right out today. Let's go down. Let's take a look. So Libs of TikTok was giving some sort of speech, and here's the clip.
Of our lives. It's in our kids' schools. It's on college campuses. It is in the work.
He's talking about wokeness.
It is in the streets, it's when you go to the store. I mean, like, you can't do anything in peace without this wokeness being shoved down your throat wherever you go. So, do you have a question? Is there something funny?
I do.
Yeah, sure.
How do you define wokeness?
Wokeness is the destruction of normalcy
can't even answer the question. What is wokeness? They run around and use this term wokeness over and over again. Oh, this is woke. This is woke. Okay, tell us. Define wokeness. The destruction of normalcy. What? Destruction of normalcy. That's not the definition. That's not what woke. And this is why I told people for a really long time, like, you should not use the term woke. You need to call it what it is. See, if she knew what it was, she could have answered the question, but she doesn't know what it is. Wokeness is simply a synonym for cultural Marxism. What it is. It's a synonym for cultural Marx. Now, I've said this before, and people go, oh, but people don't know what cultural Marxism is, so we can't use that term. Then you ask them, well, okay, what does wokeness mean? And they can't tell you. And what is cultural Marxism? Well, cultural Marxism is the subversion of family, culture, in order to create divisions. That's why they come up with this term, intersectionality, right? So it's subversion of culture, it's a subversion of family, it's a subversion of life, and it's to derail not normalcy, but tradition. Not normalcy, but conservatism. Not normalcy, but common sense. Not normalcy, but nature. Not normalcy, but God. It's a subversion of God. It's a subversion of nature. That's what wokeness is. It's taking the institutions that we've created through tradition that we've known has worked for millennia and subverting them, dividing them in order to conquer. For example, how many genders are there? 1,000,001. How many races are there? Now it's 1,000,001. You got POC, you got BIPOC, you got brown people, you got black people, you got all. So they just keep creating new divisions. And you even saw this with communism as it grew in Eastern Europe. Let's say Eastern Europe. And every time a group would get too powerful, they would divide them. They would create a subdivision. So it went from socialist to, okay, you got too big. Let's create a new faction and call this one social democracy. Then you get national social. Not talking about Nazi. That is what Nazism is. But they just divide and divide and divide and come up with different ways to say the same thing. And then, you know, create nuance and say, well, the socialists are different from communists. And then, you know, the social democrats are different from socialists. They just keep creating new groups. You see it with the rainbow. Every time we see LGBT, there's a new letter added onto it. And they just keep creating new groups and new divisions. Again, this is where Black Lives Matter popularized the term intersectionality. Create the divisions, and the divisions create confusion, and the divisions create chaos and creates warring. Now the different tribes, even amongst the left, are warring amongst themselves. And that's really so that, you know, one group doesn't get too powerful and too controlled. But, you know, coming back to the premise, it's very important for us to recognize that wokeness, as is most normally expressed by the woke right, is cultural Marxism, but at its root, it's just communism. And communism does follow the Hegelian dialectic that everybody talks about, but you know, communism loves to first destroy and then co-opt. And I want to say build, but they don't really build much. I wanted to say rebuild, but there is no like rebuilding that actually happens through communism. But communism is it expresses itself as fascism. And keep in mind, I am a fan of both, because if we look at a country like, I don't know, like the United States of America, it could use a bit of fascism. It's just that the fascism that's used right now are used in the wrong place. But communism, in the context of wokeness, seeks to plant its parasitic tentacles inside the minds of marginalized groups. Okay, so we're talking about the how wokeness seeps in. So it's a parasite, right? So wokeness, aka Marxism, aka communism, is a parasite. Okay. And the parasite obviously needs a host to survive. And the host that it uses is usually marginalized groups. Now, sometimes it's a faux marginalized group, like they'll say white women, and it's just like, all right, white women definitely ain't losing. Or sometimes it's a real group. And sometimes what they'll do is they'll take a real group and then take their struggles and co-opt it for another group. For example, the rise of Black Lives Matter. The rise of Black Lives Matter was about black men, straight black men, getting murdered by police officers. And then they co-opt it and make it about the rainbow, right? We all know that story. So we have to understand that communism, cultural Marxism, is in of itself a parasite. Communism requires it requires capitalists. Like, who are you gonna? What do they say? Take from the rich, give to the poor, right? That type of situation. How are you gonna take from something that is not there? So it requires capital. You know, communism still requires capital because they want to take from the upper and then, you know, distribute it amongst, you know, the other groups, whether it's in the form of, you know, whatever social program, Medicare or something like that, right? Food stamps or some shit, right? Some social program. So when you define wokeness at the top tier, you'll define it as cultural Marxism, aka communism. And then when people ask you about that, you have to say, well, these things are parasitic in nature because they require a host to grift off of. So what the communists do, they come in and they find a group, let's say black people. And this is a huge missed opportunity for other groups of people, including the red whites. So you'll see a group like black people who have a legitimate gripe with their government. And you'll have a group that has a hands-on approach, and you have a group that has a hands-off approach. And the red whites have a hands-off approach, which means that, you know, it's all for the taking for the blue whites. So the blue whites come in and say, oh, you have a problem? We're going to help you. And then they pose as a friend and work as a spy, straight out the 48 laws of power. And then basically take their struggle, raise funds off of their struggle, never really do anything about the issue. My brain did a fork, right? So my brain did this fork because, well, one big issue is they don't listen. They don't listen to the marginalized group. For example, if we're talking about, you know, famine in Africa, you know, famine in Africa will say, here's what we need. And the UN will say, fuck that. We're just going to drop off food, right, and destabilize your economy. The black community will say things like, you know, we need job opportunity. And the lefties will go, no, you just need free housing. And it's like, nah, like, I want to work for my shit. You know, I want to earn my living. I have no problem with that, but we need more opportunities. $1 billion goes into NORC schools and disappears. Why is that, right? I think somebody called in last week, said $1 billion went into New York and disappeared. So coming back, you know, communism is a parasite. And it does not listen to its host. It does what it wants above its host and feeds itself off of the host. So the host will starve while the communists eat well. And you see this all throughout the stories of Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin. And even if you ask somebody who's who's an actual Russian, they'll tell you that in order to have any type of perks or any serious perks, noticeable perks, you would have to be a part of the military, right? Or government. And those guys eat really well, right? They call them champagne socialists. And I'm not sure how things go now, but this was, I was talking to a Russian. I think they grew up in the 80s. This is what it was like in Russia in 80s. I don't know what it's like now. I have to interview another Russian to find out what's going on now. So that's wokeness, right? So when somebody asks you, now you won't sound like the libs of TikTok lady. Now you can, you know, comfortably say what wokeness is. And I guess I should just summarize, you know, what communism is. And this is a working definition I've been playing with. At first, it was centralization of power within the hands of the state. And then I realized it's a bit flawed. A bit flawed. There is centralization occurring with communism. There is centralization of decision making. There is centralization of power happening, and it does happen at the state level. But communism's unique, and I'm working through this thought right now. Communism's unique from all other systems. My mind just went back to just Parasite, right? Like it needs a host. So centralization of power within the hands of the state at the expense of the middle class. That's a good way to put it. At the expense of the middle class. See, I'm adding to this definition now, and that I like that. I just figured that out. Communism is a centralization of power within the hands of the state at the expense of the middle class. That sounds just like Mark, right? So there you go. That's my latest definition. It's a working definition. And, that's that. Let me check on my peoples. When your eyes are open to the social media news, like Boondocks episode and Netflix, unironically, looks like TV shows and Saw Simpsons episode. Yeah, exactly. Fucking weird. It's a good definition for woke, right? He says the inability to define a woman. Yeah, that's another one. That's another. Okay, so at the expense of the middle class, where words are weapons, or I should say, the because they change definitions. For example, this is out of Orwell's work, 1984, and not a lot of this is about, you know, what do words mean? And communism, not only does it, you know, steal capital from the middle class, but it also changes the definitions of words. And that's what 1984 was about, and that's what Orwell was warning us about. So it's also an attack on language. So now we have centralization of power. Oh, wait. Okay, let's continue with that. Centralization of power within the hands of the state at the expense of the middle class, where words mean nothing. No. Where language finds confusion. Something roundabout there. Because language is a huge part of this. A huge part is, what does a woman mean? We don't know, right? Like, what do these different things mean? They're always changing these definitions of things. They're removing definitions. They move the goalposts on it. So language is a huge part of this. And thanks to Orwell for tipping us off about that, because that is so true. Oh, I like that. He says, Jeff says, communism is the redefining of the natural order. Ooh, I like that. I like that. I really like that. That's nice and concise. It's concise, not as specific, but it's true, right? It does like. But the thing is, the only reason why I don't like that definition is because modern capitalism would do the same thing. It'll redefine natural order, right? The industrial complex, industrialization, Ted Kaczynski, all of that. None of that shit follows natural order. So that's why I'm like, You got to really be specific about some of this stuff. So Hotep Swarse says the centralization of power at the cost of the middle class and subversion of language. There you go. Reorganizing and centralizing of power. Yeah, but it doesn't really. That's true, though. It's true. This just makes me want to talk people even less, if that was possible. Yeah. HJ, why did African leaders in the 20th century gravitate towards communism? So I have that. Damn. It's a book written by this dude named Smith where he talks about this. But there's a couple of things that contributed to, and it wasn't just Africans, but Russia, it's basically just a very successful Russian propaganda campaign. That's really what it comes down to. It's a very successful Russian propaganda campaign. My brain did a fork. We're not going to talk about that. We talked about it. But you had a bunch of people who didn't have the internet, didn't have access to resources. They didn't. Thomas Sowell wasn't Thomas Sowell yet. Walter Williams wasn't Walter Williams yet. In fact, Thomas Sowell was probably a communist. Well, he was a communist, but probably around this time, he was probably still a socialist, right? So Thomas Sowell was a socialist. But it comes down to the fact that when you read the Communist Manifesto, the shit is on point. Like, Marx was right about a lot of fucking things. He was right about the middle class and the middle class's attitude towards the poor. The middle class's attitude towards the poor fucking sucks. So when you have somebody who comes along and they diagnose your problem, because this is what Marx did well. He diagnosed the problem very well, even though he didn't write it. But anyway, he diagnosed the problem really well. It's just the solutions were trash, right? Like his way of solving the problems. I'm like, nah, that's not how you solve that, bro. But when you have somebody that comes along and diagnoses your problem so well, and then they provide a solution, because there's lack of other options, you take hold to it. And the other thing you got to remember is a lot of these people were young, right? And I talked about this before. A lot of the Black Panthers, these guys are like 20 years old. They ain't no fucking better. They didn't know any better, right? So a lot of it was just frustration with the current system. There was actually somebody with literature speaking to their problems and their hearts. And I almost became a communist. It's just that, you know, I'm a thinker. So, and I think I told y'all this before, but I didn't like the way America was going, and I was very much challenging, you know, which way are we going forward, right? Which way is the right way? And I saw this thing, communism, and I started reading up, and before I started promoting it, I just tried to think about it, right? And I said, okay, how do we get luxury goods into households if not for capitalism, right? So, for example, PlayStation comes out, right? How do you buy a PlayStation? Well, they put up a price and you pay for it, right? You get the pre-order and you buy it, right? Well, how does that exactly happen under communism? First of all, the part I couldn't get around was how do you create the means of production for a PlayStation? But I loved my PlayStation. That's how I loved it. I still do. So like, how do you, like, so now I'm thinking, like, are we forcing people? And I'm like, can't force people to work. That's fucked up. So because I couldn't wrap my mind around the dish, then I was like, so who gets the PlayStation, even if it is produced, right? And I'm like, is there a lottery? And then, like, you know, can't the lottery become corrupt? And I'm like, ugh, this communism thing don't make too much sense. But it's just the fact that there are lack of other options. There's, and the other thing is, communism, it had so much money behind it. It has so much brains behind it. And while capitalism had none, virtually none. I mean, the capitalist brains don't really emerge until later on, right? Like Rothbard and Milton Friedman, like these guys don't come out till later, right? Like 70s, 80s. I think the earliest capitalist document you could probably read is probably Adam Smith, Wealth of Nations. But even that was just a study of the capital within nations. It wasn't like, hey, capitalism's the way. But, you know, you had so many people of intelligentsia, like, you know, Rousseau. And then, you know, it got exported to China. It got exported to Eastern Europe. Obviously the Wall Street ties are like, you know, you got Wall Street money that's helping build communism to destroy monarchies, right? Because that's really what it is. We're moving from a shift from feudalism to communism. There is no in between point for capitalism, right? Maybe here in America, in the early days, maybe you can call that, you know, a free market in some places, especially like the Wild Wild West. But there was no time period to experience true capitalism or have people champion it. So I would say the reason why many of the African Americans chose communism was because of lack of options. And there were some really smart people. The fourth political theory. Nice. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. That's what I was going to talk about before, yo. Oh, wait, no, it's not. No, this is, I thought I saw a Russian word in here I recognize. No, not this. I thought you were going to talk about perestroika. That's what I was going to bring up before, but I didn't want to bring it up. Because this is just a whole other story for another day. And I haven't finished reading it either. So I hate talking about stuff that I didn't study completely. But yeah, I mean, just think about the money that went into it. Money and the brains that got into communism. I mean, it's had a massive push and it was very, very appealing, especially to people who saw everything wrong with the current society. And if you weren't careful, you'd fall for the trap that capitalism was bad. Capitalism is close to nature. Capitalism is closer to nature, but capitalism's far from nature. Not near. Capitalism's not that. Capitalism is the it's like the middleman of egos, you know, like it's the middleman of egos. Because if we were all supreme exalted beings, like living out of God, why would there need to be an exchange of monies? Why would there need to be, right? The game. All right, let's go to the next subject. If you guys got more questions, because sometimes I don't know if I'm answering you guys' questions right, so super chat or call in, and we'll dive deeper into these things the best I can. Let's go to the Candace Owens story. I almost jumped on the Candace Owens bandwagon this morning. And then I was disappointed. Wait, is it there? Oh, wait. Oh, the original tweet was deleted. I'm just trying to figure out. All right, here, I'm gonna show you what I saw. And I might not have to throw out no more. I might be on the bandwagon. So check this out, right? He says here, as the left is now describing Christ as king and something dangerous, it is very important to remember that this war on Christ was not started by the left. This was started by Andrew Clavin of Daily Wire in an attempt to explain how I was anti-Semitic. This is obviously internal beef, her with her former employer. And then she continues here and says, the entire narrative was made up of lies. No one shouted Christ as king at a Jew. And yet people began supposing that it could be anti-Semitic if someone had done that. They then desperately began trying to find tweets written by anti-Semites to justify the bizarre attack. Conclusion, it was never anti-Semitism. It was always anti-Christian bigotry. But that tweet, this tweet right here was the one that was attached to the original post, as you can see here, now deleted, right? And this is the part I like. She said, when you begin to pay attention, you will realize that what the left and right share in common is a deep hatred / fear of Christians uniting. The right just hides it better.
Oh, this is a hotel, brother.
Damn. You know, it's interesting when somebody becomes a free agent, all of a sudden the truth is free as well. Where is Candace going with this? Not with this statement, but with this next chapter of her life. Like, where is she going to be placing her grift tokens? Because I've never seen her alienate the right like this. Maybe she has and I missed it. You know, give her the benefit of the doubt. But when she says the right just hides it better, like, damn. Yeah. Now, this seems like dog whistle anti-Semitism. I've been using that term dog whistle a lot. It does seem that way. I'm not saying it is. It could be construed as that, right? Because when she says, you know, the left and right share in common is a deep hatred and fear of Christians uniting, right? This part right here, Christians uniting. Like, what are you trying to say with that? Are you basically saying that the blue Jews and red Jews are united in the background against Christians? Is that what she's saying? Because I thought Christianity was the grift on the right, right? That's why I'm saying this might be, you know, dog whistle tactics or something like that. He says the right just hides it better, which is true. The right hides a lot of things better than the left is right in your face. But the key word here is uniting, right? We talked about this in the past. Uniting. That's the issue. That's what they don't want. Whoever the they is, whether it's red, white, blue, whites, the all-powerful Jews, the lizard men, whatever you think runs the world, Illuminati, this is their fear, you know, uniting. So it's interesting she's saying this. Now I'm trying to see, where is she going with this? What is the plan? Is the plan independent? It's looking independent. That type of tweet right there does not say, I want another job with the right. It's saying that. I'm going to need some time. I don't want to jump to conclusions, but something really, really interesting about her criticisms of the right. We hadn't seen that before. We hadn't seen that before her tiff with Daily Wire. We hadn't seen it. Anyway, let's talk about women. I want to play this clip. I had not gotten a chance to watch this clip. I'm going to watch this clip now with y'all and give my two cents. Let's listen.
What do your daughters think about what you say about women? Or do they agree with you?
Yes, they do. And they don't agree with me because I'm their father. I believe they should be an independent thinker. But I also don't want my daughters out here with walking the street with tights on and a halter just so men can walk around or drive by and bump their horn at them and whistle them.
So is it their fault or is it the men's fault for sexualizing them?
See, here we go again. We back to the sexualizing thing. Right back to the Angel Reese situation. That's a good question. Is it the men sexualizing them or the women sexualizing themselves? Can it be both? I feel like it's both. You know what's funny is when you go to the gym and these girls walk in with these little skimpy outfits. I make it a point to never look. I don't look. And what I notice is sometimes they like go out of your way when you're not looking to make you look. Like, bitch, you done walked past me 3 times. I'm not looking at you in them little ass shorts. Stop it. Go get some attention somewhere else. So sometimes these women be like, fishing for attention. Okay. Just attention. Not to say that, you know, she wants my number. Not, like, sometimes women are just like, how come, you know, all the dudes in here didn't look but him? And they just want you to look just to feel good about themselves. Well, let's go back anyway.
It is the nature of a man to be attracted to a woman who hardly have anything on.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Damn.
Tights and a halter top?
Tights and a halter top is kind of wild, lady. Tights and a halter top. Again, I gotta pick on my foreigners. It's different cultures, right? So I noticed that when the Muslims go to the beach, their daughters aren't wearing the same things that an American daughter would wear, right? They're not doing the whole bikini swimsuit thing. They got the full, you know, web work on. Look like they about to go surfing and shit with the wetsuit. I know it's even the same thing with their children. They don't put swimsuits on the babies. You know, the babies are wearing, you know, full shorts and full shirts. They're for swimming, but they're wearing shorts and a shirt. They don't got their ass cheeks hanging out. Some of y'all take y'all babies to the place and you got your baby's ass cheeks hanging out. So why is it that they're very conscious of these things, but we're not, you know? I even noticed that sometimes some of the Indian women or Muslim women, when they come to the gym, they wear baggy clothes. Or if they're wearing leggings, their shirt covers their butt. I remember I had a conversation recently with a black couple. And she was talking about, I think she said he was leaving the house in his gray sweats, blah, 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 blah. You know how women talk about the gray sweats, talking about they can see your print and all of that. So I asked her, I said, do you leave the house in leggings? And she clutched her pearls. Oh, don't take my leggings from me. Do you wear a shirt that covers up your butt when you wear those leggings? And then she was like, all right, never mind, never mind, never mind. So she wanted to leave it alone. But women, I personally do not think it is appropriate for a woman to leave the house in leggings. Your butt need to be covered up. You got to get a shirt that covers that up. That's just my personal belief, especially if you're in a relationship. You just got your ass out. Just everybody just walking around with their ass out. It's really weird. Let's see how he responds.
Yes. let's be
so
real.
I'm just trying to think. If I choose to dress today and have on a tight and a halter top and bubbling. A man honks at me, it's my fault.
Yes. We ain't honking at the bitch in the burqa. You naked. We are designed to fish. You know what's funny is, before this social media era, you know, it used to be, you know, in the 50s, it used to be rude to not compliment a woman. Like, if a woman was walking down the street, you took your hat off, you tipped your hat, you complimented her. It used to be rude not to compliment a woman. But with social media, because women have gotten their attention cup full before they leave the house, by the time they leave the house, because their attention cup is full, you're now an annoyance when you show them attention. Back in the day, women would leave the house to get attention. They'd leave the house to get those horns honked. And they didn't take it like this. This is this new age shit where women get their full of attention from social media. So when they get it outside of that, it's awkward to them. It's the man's wrong. But we are the progenitors of society. We are the ones that have to plant our seed. And when we see opportunities to plant our seed, we usually take advantage of those.
It's the fault of both. If you...
Okay, so he's right. It's the both. Okay, good.
Dressed in a way... You don't believe that a woman can dress in a way that can lure a man to him?
That's just like saying if a woman puts on a tight dress, she deserves to get raped.
No.
That's a huge jump right there. That's a huge jump.
That is not saying that. Yeah. Because regardless of what a person wear, they don't deserve to get raped. But right. at the same time, let me make this example.
Please.
There are some men that drive a very fashionable car and right. look a certain way. And sometimes that look attracts certain women.
Yeah.
There are certain looks that a woman can have on that make her appear that attracts certain men. That's just a fact.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great analogy. Great analogy from the pastor there. That is so true. You can't attract people by things you have. You can't attract men by what you wear. And women know that. They just don't. The key trait with women is, you know, they don't want to accept responsibility. They don't. Women hate accountability. You know, that's really what this comes down to. And they hate being wrong. So even if you win in the argument, they're never going to admit that they were wrong. Unfortunately. I don't want to talk about that. All right, let's cover. I had this in the bag for a minute. Let's cover this and get this. I don't have to look at this in the grift bag no more. Let's pull this up. I want to talk about this. Cause it's right. We're right in line with the same subject. Who is this woman? I don't know. Let's take a look.
And also just kind of undoing some of the damage from the red pill conversation.
How do you mean?
Here's another. I feel like it's done the exact terrible impact that feminism had at women's belief about men. Red pill kind of did the exact same for men. It gave them a home. For the men that hate women, it gave them a home, but it's in the wrong hands. It's okay when it's in the hands of psychologists and people who understand human nature, but when it's in the hands of a 27-year-old boy who just wants to make it in social media, or somebody whose life experience is just making TikToks, and he's the one teaching men how to view women, it's dangerous. It's super, super dangerous. So I would love to undo the damage of some of that. And
fact check, true. She's right. The red pill community is very important. However, it is a response to feminism. It is a natural response to feminism. But it's also become a haven for incel. You know, if you want to become a popular red pill community creator, content creator, you just get on the internet and bash women all day. It's the same thing feminists do. They bash men, right? So you just find something that, you know, for example, a couple of weeks back, some chick was on OnlyFans, and then the next week she pledged her life to God. And then all the red pill guys were like, oh my God, look at her. Da, da, da. And I'm like, wait a second. Isn't that a good thing that she left OnlyFans and then went to God? Like, isn't that kind of like the goal? Like, isn't that what we want from women, to like be examples to say this is not the way and God is the way? But, you know, they chose to go the other route. You even see it with the white girl with red hair. You know, she makes her coins in this industry off of shitting on women, right? Just talking shit about women. And unfortunately, that's what much of the red pill has come down to. Yeah, how many women can I bring on my podcast and make look stupid? You know, and it's just like, what? We also saw another example with Sneeko. Sneeko ran into those kids in the subway or someplace. They came up to him. Yeah, man, fuck these bitches. And he's like, wait, why are you saying this? And it's because that's what they saw you say, bro. They saw you say, fuck these bitches. So, and these guys are young. They're like, you know, 26, 27. These are young guys. They don't know shit from shit. So, you know, they pass down their ignorance to the next generation. Ignorance runs with the truth, the holy grail of all of this. You know, and I think that Mackin needs to be taught. The Art of Macking. Shout out to Tariq Nasheed. It needs to be an art of game. Game needs to be taught. Macking needs to be taught. But not at the expense of women, but for the benefit of women. Like, how can you mac a woman and make her life better? Make her see life in a different light. You have these women who are liberals and they date a Christian, like wholesome white women. Wholesome white woman at one point was, I believe she said, a liberal. And now she's on this side, right? So when your Mac game is on point, it's really about, you know, training up a woman to be what you want, right? In some way, she's got to train you up to be what she wants. Got to communicate all of these things to each other. But at the end of the day, the red pill is, it's got some bad spots. Got some bad spots, man. And I think some of it is just corny. She calls it dangerous. Maybe I just call it corny. And to me, it's like, I feel like the men in that space never got girls. Let me put myself on the big screen. These dudes never got girls, right? Like in high school, they weren't cool, okay? In high school, I was cool. I got girls. Girls came to me. I was a chick magnet. My homeboys would call me up. Be like, yo, where the girls at? I remember one time we was at a hotel party and my homeboy said to me, I couldn't get girls that night. It was last minute. And he like, yo, where the girls at? And me being frustrated, I'm like, you tell me, you don't ever bring none. And he shut the fuck up because he knew it was true. So a lot of these dudes never got girls. And now that they have money and status, this is what they leverage to get girls. I never leveraged money or status to get girls. I had a sense of humor. I had a personality. I had intelligence. I didn't need anything other than my brain to get girls. You know what I'm saying? I was just funny and fun to be around. Handsome, right? Some of these guys, what happens is because they never got girls in high school because they were dweebs and geeks. Now that they're older and they got their life together, so to speak, and they have money and they have status, they're on a revenge tour. They're on a revenge tour. What they want to do is they want to get back at all the chicks in the past that they tried to get with that they couldn't get with. And now this is their way. They're projecting onto other women what other women have done to them in the past. And they're hurt. These are hurt and scorned men. That's why they target women who they know they can defeat in a battle of wits. This is why they talk shit about women online. This is just hurt. And it's the same thing I said about feminists. I said feminists are only feminists because at some point a man in their life hurt them. Whether physically, mentally, emotionally, or a combination of all three, or a combination of two. This is hurt people. These are people who have not healed from pain. And if you have not healed from pain, you don't deserve a microphone. You should not have a microphone because all you're going to do is spread pain around the world. And that's the part I think she's saying that's dangerous. So, yes, parts of the red pill community is basically a reflection of feminism. This is what it is. I respectfully disagree with what? You don't disagree with me. Red pill was also about divorce, among other things. Now that I can say is very important. Dudes be getting they ass handed to them in divorces. And somebody needs to help people navigate that because it's a legal thing, right? It's a legal battle. And you need to know how to handle that, how to handle the woman as you're going through the proceedings, et cetera, because, you know, how her emotions are could affect her conversations with attorneys and negotiations over distribution of assets, et cetera, et cetera. So, God forbid if I ever have a divorce, hopefully I won't need one, but it is a sticky situation. So this is how we're going to do it today. You can text, your questions, or you can call in with your questions. 202-596-5631. 202-596-5631. You can text your questions, or you can call in, text before you call. But we're going to go into our phone calls now, and I'll be right back after the short, brief commercial message.